Let's say, for example, you are, you know, the best at finding deals,
Right.
right? Like that's how you're making your money. So
Sure.
you're finding these deals, but you also type 135 words per minute,
Okay.
right? And so you're like, well, I can hire someone at 80 words per minute, but they're not, I mean, they're fractionally as good as me. I might as well type it for myself. But the answer is no, your comparative advantage, even though you might be the best typer, is going to be you only should be focusing on deals
Right.
and letting everything else go.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Since 2001, Mark Podolsky has completed over 6,000 raw land deals with an average return of over 300% on cash purchases and over a 1,000% return. That sounded like I just hit puberty. My goodness, Mark, where'd that come from? 1,000%. Let's try that again. 1,000. Hey, whatever. We're going to leave it in there. I like this, man. You made 1,000%. I don't care how you say the number. That's a lot on land deals that you financed. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Sam Wilson, brother, great to see you again. And look, these little puberty things, that's pretty cool.
It is until you're 42 and you don't want to be there anymore. Hey man, it's great to have you back on the show. For those of you who are listening today, Mark came on the show two and a half years ago. I don't have the episode number right in front of me. If you want to go back and listen to that, I would highly advise it, because what Mark does in that show is really breaks down the land investing business and what that looks like. We probably won't spend as much time on the nuances and kind of not the nuance, but maybe more time on the nuances today, but less time kind of explaining what the land business is. So go back and listen to that if you want a primer for this episode. But today, Mark, it's great to just have you back on the show. We got lots of things to talk about. So tell me, I guess in the last 2.5 years, what's been going on?
Well, I'll tell you that it's a good time to be a land investor. And the reason being is when we are doing our deals, we're paying cash. And so interest rates can do whatever they want. And it really doesn't matter. And so for us, it's been a great, sort of bull market in raw land investing. And we've seen our note portfolio increase now. Gosh, I don't even have the percentage, but it's really been exciting. Last two and a half years, watching our clients get out of what I call subtle economic dependency, which means if they're not personally working, they're not making any money, and seeing how they've been able to quit their jobs, able to retire their spouses, and have that security knowing that when their passive income exceeds their fixed expenses, they're working because they want to, not because they have to.
Right. No, that's, hey man, that's a great thing certainly to strive for. The land business, at least a lot of times what we see, and other guests that we've had on the show that talk about the land business, it's a very active, it's like flipping houses, but without the house. I mean, how does what we've kind of heard some people talk about versus how you do it, how do those two differ?
Yeah, that's a great question. So really the last thing anyone wants to build for themselves is another job.
Right.
And we see this happen all the time, where people come in, they're enthusiastic, but then they don't have the wherewithal to start building systems, processes, playbooks, swim lanes to say, okay, how do I leverage my time for the highest impact activities? So the way that we teach this and the way that we set up our own business is using software on the front end, inexpensive virtual assistants, and software on the back end. 90% of this business is automated and is scalable. And so, and actually, Sam, I've got my second book. It's just about ready to come out in a few months, Dirt Rich 2, The Plot Thickens, How to Scale Your Land Business. And so I talk all about the pieces that you need in order to grow, scale your land business without making yourself crazy. And this really can be applied to any business that you're trying to grow. It's just one of those things, because we think, well, we should be doing all of it and we don't scale. And so it kind of gets back to that sort of Michael Gerber e-myth piece as well. And, are you the technician? Are you the you know, the other pieces of it. And most people are coming in, they're the technician, and we want to become the CEO of our business.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And the land business is a very interesting business because there's a thousand ways you can do it. Like what, I know you mentioned early on a note portfolio, like what's
right.
If there is any one particular strategy that you like to employ, what is it?
Yeah. So I like really three buying sort of simple ways to sort of to buy land. The first one is direct. So what we'll do is we'll do county research. We'll pick our county and then we'll start looking at comparable sales. And essentially we'll take the lowest comparable sale in a county. We'll divide by four. That gives us what Warren Buffett would call a 300% margin of safety. And we'll send direct offers to those people. And why are we doing that? Because we don't want to be in the appraisal business. If we send out a blind offer, then next thing you know, we're spending all our time on the phone appraising and negotiating. So this is just an offer. Take it or leave it. Maybe there's some room for renegotiating, but not much, right? So that's the first way we can buy. The second way we can buy is we can totally eliminate the aspect of getting a list, scrubbing a list, pricing a list, mailing a list, and we can go straight to a wholesaler. They've already done all this front-end work, and now we're buying it at a premium of what the wholesaler bought it for, but they've left enough meat on the bone because our margins are so high that we can go in and make maybe 100 to 300% on our investment. So you've got retail, you've got a wholesale, and then let's say that you're really cash constrained and you just want to sort of dip your toe in the water, or your capital is really dwindling. There's something that we have been teaching now called land arbitrage. And so land arbitrage is typically when someone like me will buy a piece of land. Let's say the market I bought it in, let's say I paid $10,000 for it. And I started selling it for $400 down, $400 a month. And after, say, 10 months of receiving payments, I've gotten 50% of my capital back, right? And then someone defaults. Well, I've already established, here's the market. It's $400 down, $400 a month for a $10,000 piece of property. Well, what I'll do is I'll use a land arbitrage technique. And so I'll say, Sam, hey, look, I know you don't have $10,000. And what I'll do is I'll land arbitrage this to you. So instead of $400 down, $400 a month, I'm going to sell it to you for $8,000, $200 down, $200 a month. And now you're going to flip it $400 down, $400 a month, and you're going to make the spread at a $10,000. So because I've got my almost all my capital back out, I can afford to do this. And then you can lock up a piece of property for only $200. And so let's say it's 3 months and you couldn't sell the property. Well, now you're only out $600. So you've mitigated your risk and you've been able to keep your capital. So those are three really simple ways of buying land.
Got it. No, I love that. I love that. Yeah, there's lots of different ways that you can do it, but it sounds like you've been building and will continue to build a note portfolio of your own because you like that monthly cash flow.
Yeah, I mean, I prefer cash flow over cash. I think it's the antidote to financial insecurity. I really do. Yeah. I think cash is great. And I think there's certain circumstances where you want cash. But ideally, if you can get to cash flow and you have steady cash flow, that's the antidote to financial insecurity because you know you don't have to go hustle for your next deal. You know you can get sick. You know life can throw any curveball it wants at you. And you have the steady cash flow coming in every single month without you having to put in too much effort. I mean, let's face it, nothing's completely passive. If, you know, if I gave you $1 billion, you'd still have to do something with that capital actively.
You absolutely would. I've always said that, you know, the misnomer of passive investing. It's like, no, it's not passive. I'm still vetting sponsors. I'm still you know, making sure distribution, I'm still entering those on spreadsheets to track the performance of sponsors. There's still a lot of still getting tax return documents. I mean, there's nothing passive about passive investing. Maybe
there's
less
nothing. Active, yeah. It's less active, but there's nothing passive.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So you're a big fan of the cash flow, which I couldn't agree with you more, man. I don't know where you were 10 years ago, Mark, when, or 11 years now, when I got into real estate. Of course, I read the purple book, and you know, that's all Robert Kiyosaki talks about. It's cash flow. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I want the big lick now. Like, and
yeah,
you know, 11 years later, I'm like, man, he was on to something. Cash flow makes a lot of sense. So
right.
It's funny how your perspectives change. When you came on the show a few years ago, you had mentioned that in 2008, you were in the land investing business and got crushed. How are you positioning yourself differently now, in light of kind of wherever we are in the economic cycle that no one knows? What's different now for you?
I think when you get crushed the way I got crushed, and so it wasn't that the land business was still profitable, but what I didn't understand was I had Parkinson's law of money. So the more money I made, the more money I spent. And it's an interesting thing, because I was listening to a podcast recently where Americans feel that how things are going now, they'll continue in this trajectory, where in Asian countries, they're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so I like to take the more Asian approach now, because I've felt it and I know that anything can happen. There can be any kind of black swan event. Nobody could have predicted COVID, right? And most of the things, and really that's the definition of risk, is when you've thought of everything, what's left, that's risk. And so to me, knowing that I've thought of everything and I can't think of everything, how am I going to mitigate that inevitable risk? And so I probably have more cash on hand than I should, right? And I probably am more conservative with my personal debt than I should be. And that's really how I think about it. And I'm constantly looking at the market. I'm constantly asking myself that Jeff Bezos question: if everything's going to change, what's not going to change? And sort of position myself in the land business in that way. So I think that's just sort of being a little bit conservative, paranoid, and having enough cash on hand so that I can weather the inevitable financial storm that's coming. It is coming. I don't know when, but I can tell you right now, it's been a great, you know, 10 year or what, how long has it been since the
16?
Is it 16? I mean,
2008 was 16 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could say, okay, COVID was, 4 years ago. Was a big dip, right, for some sectors, but other sectors, it was crazy. And you have this huge government bailout. They throw trillions of dollars into the economy. You've got massive inflation now. And now we're trying to set that back. I mean, it always feels a little unsteady to me. And so I want to prepare myself for that.
Absolutely. What about the how am I going to ask this? The recession... inflation, I would imagine that land would be considered inflation resistant, in the sense that it's durable.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, when we benefit in a high interest rate environment.
How's that?
Well, because the land is basically a fixed asset, right? So just like gold or silver, it's a great inflationary asset in that sense. So as I said, interest rates, I mean, we're fine in interest rates because we're not using debt, but also in an inflationary environment, we do really well as
right.
well.
Right. Because you can just reprice to whatever that now value is.
Exactly.
Are there ways of buy? I know you said you buy everything in cash. Is there a particular size or a particular use, or, you know, are there things you're staying away from in the land business, like development projects or subdivides or infill lots or you name it. Is there anything right now that you're like, eh, you know what? That style of land investing is not for me because of where I see us, where you perceive us to be in the cycle.
Yeah, I'm agnostic when it comes to these different strategies of acquiring land. What I focus on is where can I get an asset 25, 30 cents on the dollar? And in today's market, it's not going to be an infill lot. I'm just not going to get that.
Right.
I might be able to get an incredible deal in, say, a rural area where I can subdivide. Absolutely. I'll do that deal all day long. A development deal, I'm not going to go through the risk and the process and the headaches and, you know, the years of you know, going through that process of getting a piece of land shovel ready.
Right.
Right. I think it can be a great model. It's just not for me. Mm-hmm. And so I don't necessarily avoid them. I just sort of, I'm an inch wide and a mile deep. I just keep doing what works for me.
That makes a lot of sense. That links, I mean, which essentially you said, hey, you don't see there's anything wrong with those. It's just not necessarily the one that you want to be personally investing in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just not going to be in my buy box.
And a lot of those require a very, very unique skill set. Like the one, you know, where you just talked about the risk, the process of taking a parcel, subdividing it, and then getting it shovel ready for whatever you perceive may be the best, highest and best use of that. That can be a lot of years, a lot of gray hair, and a lot of time that maybe you could have spent otherwise, you know, on your business doing what you're best at.
No, absolutely. And I'm, you know, vicious with my time, right? So I've got an app called We Croak, and it reminds me 5 times a day of my death. And so I'm very conscious of the fact that, like, it's really short. It's terrifyingly short. And so how I spend my days is how I spend my life. And I want to have the most enjoyable days possible doing what I love to do the most. And so if there's something I'm doing that I don't love, well, I either, you know, delegate it, automate it, or eliminate it. And that's it. And sort of taking this inventory of how I'm spending my time to make sure that I can live, you know, the best life I can.
That is, I've never heard anyone mention that. We croak. That's pretty funny. I mean, but it's realistic, you know. I always joke and say that this is just a rental suit. Like I don't get to keep it, you know.
Yeah,
you wear it for a little while, and then it's over. So,
yeah,
that's pretty funny. Delegate, automate, eliminate. I love that. Okay, so we've talked a little bit here about kind of what your philosophy is right now, how you're positioning yourself, the types of things maybe that you guys are buying, what works for you. We've talked about your note portfolio, some strategies for offers on land, different ways you can buy land. What would you say to somebody, you know, on the scalability of the land investing business? I know you mentioned 90% of this business you think you can offload to other people. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I personally spend about 30 minutes a week in the land business. Mm. And I'm meeting with my team. We're having a meeting, and we're looking at how many offers went out, how many deals are pending, what have we sold, and then what playbooks do we need to update? Where have things changed so that team knows how to run the playbooks for each aspect of the business? And that's really it. And just sort of keeping my finger on the pulse of the health of the business. And where do we need to add resources? Where do we need to take away resources? Where have things changed? Where can we utilize technology? How can AI help us do a better job? And really looking at those types of things as a CEO would look at the business. So I'm trying to stay at that 30,000 foot level.
That's really smart. I love that. How long did it take you to get that set to where your business runs basically? I mean, 30 minutes a week, it's running without you, man. I can burn 30 minutes on a phone in, you know, short order. So how did you get there?
I would say, you know, it took many, many years. I want to say at least 5 years, and then constantly tweaking and doing that. And then, yeah, I mean, it's at least 5 years to build that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Are there any things you could have done or anything you could have done to kind of shortcut that process as you look back on it and say, man, if I had implemented.
Well, if my clients are doing it in a year, I just didn't know what I didn't know.
Sure.
So I also had this, I think Chris Ducker from Virtual Freedom calls it superhero syndrome, where I thought, oh, no one's going to do it as well as me, right? No one's going to price as well as me. No one's going to do due diligence as well as me. No one's going to market as well as me. No one's going to sell as well as me. And it's totally wrong, right?
Totally wrong. I'm going to be devil's advocate here and say maybe it's not totally wrong, but there, because I think there are unique strengths each of us has. I've got a guy
who works
for me right now, and the dude is amazing. Like, he can take the most angry seller in the world, and suddenly before they're over, they're like, you know, high fiving, and it's like, I'm like, dude, you need to keep doing that, because for some reason, like, you turn angry callers into just happy go lucky people, and they want to like be at your kid's birthday party before the call's over. Like, that's weird. So
keep doing that.
I'm like, let's move all the other pieces or take those off your plate. We're gonna leave that. We're gonna leave you in that seat. So.
Right, but as an entrepreneur, I mean, let's say, for example, you are, you know, the best at finding deals,
right?
Like, that's how you're making your money. So you're finding these deals, but you also type 135 words per minute, right? And so you're like, well, I can hire someone at 80 words per minute, but they're not, I mean, they're fractionally as good as me. I might as well type it for myself. But the answer is no, your comparative advantage, even though you might be the best typer, is going to be, you only should be focusing on deals.
Right.
And letting everything else go.
For sure. You hire two people that could type at 80 words a minute, and suddenly you're, whatever that is, 25 into 135, whatever percentage is, more increase in speed. So now you're 160 words a minute, not 135. Understood. Exactly. No, that's absolutely great. Mark, this has been fun having you come back on the show and really just banter and talk about the land business. I wish we had a little more time today, because there's more stuff I want to talk about. But we'll leave that for our investor, or for our investor, for our listeners to come to you and investors too, come to you and find out how to invest in the land business. I know you had mentioned something to me, and I've already forgotten what it was, but you mentioned on the show, or before we started recording actually, that you had something for our listeners. Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, I'd love to offer them a free book called Dirt Rich. And so I've got a link for them to click on. It'll take them to our page. They can get Dirt Rich for free, which will actually just give them a nice overview of the land business. Also talks about my story, my cautionary tale, so you don't have to make the same mistakes I did in life, which could save you a lot of time, money, and heartache as well. And so all you have to do is pay for the shipping and get dirt rich.
Get Dirt Rich. We'll make sure we include that link there in the show notes for Mark's book, Dirt Rich, which is really cool. Thank you for offering that to our listeners and shipping that out. It takes a lot of time and effort to write a book, by the way, and just to send that to you for free is a really great gift. So Mark, thank you again for doing that. The link for that free book will be in the show notes there on our website, which again, you can find that there at brickandinvestmentgroup.com/podcast. Mark, one more plug for you though. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
I think the best way is go to thelandgeek.com. Thelandgeek.com and start learning more.
Thelandgeek.com. Mark, thank you again for your time today. It was great to see you again.
Thanks, brother. Good seeing you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.